it wasn't either of the people who recorded it, and there was nobody else in that wing of the building, so we don't really know what that was. But yeah, it was this kind of growl.
Welcome to Paranormal Isles. I'm your host, Angus King. Join me as I explore supernatural occurrences in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
To be quite honest, it's got me stumped. I cannot explain it, and both of us saw the same thing.
Oh, I mean, there was a time many years ago that if you ask me, do I believe in ghosts or do ghosts exist? And I would say, well, I really don't know. I don't know. But now I can with confidence say, yeah, they do. They do exist.
This podcast contains paranormal themes and details of true life atrocities and may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised. In this episode, we are joined by paranormal experts Mark Wallbank from Haunted Auckland and Tracy Royce from the Quantum Foundation. We thank them for sharing their first-hand experiences. Historic psychiatric hospitals have the reputation for being a place of nightmares, of torment and torture by ill-informed, sometimes barbaric and sadistic staff and doctors. For the sheer fact that they were referred to as lunatic asylums clearly tells us that the medical world of the past did not understand mental illness. The amount of poor souls, many being misdiagnosed, that would have suffered unimaginable horrors behind these closed doors at the hands of the worst of human depravity barely warrants thinking about. Which brings us to King's Seat Hospital in New Zealand. With an horrific past, it is no wonder that it is also one of New Zealand's most haunted locations. You will find the King's Seat Psychiatric Hospital in Karaka, about a 30-minute drive south of Auckland. Construction of the hospital began in 1929, with patients from a nearby mental institution being tasked with the job of building it. The very walls themselves, about to house the incoming patients, were fused together with the sweat of their fellow maltreated brothers and sisters. King's Seat opened its doors to patients in 1932 and was operational until 1999, when New Zealand reformed its mental health system. In its prime, King's Seat was the home to no less than 800 patients, housing some of the country's most notorious criminals in its maximum security wing. Patients whose treatment did not land them in the gloomy on-site morgue alleged that King's Seat was a house of horrors, where patients were abused emotionally and sexually. Electric shock therapy was misused, and patients were injected with drugs as punishment if they ever stepped out of line. They would then be wrangled into straitjackets and locked away in solitary confinement, left alone, forgotten. In 2004, a man called Stephen Lindsay came forward and told a horrific story of the death of his friend, 11-year-old Clement Matthews, 36 years before. Stephen was 3 years older than Clement, and they were both live-in patients at King's Seat in the late 60s. According to Stephen, Clement was tortured to death, and in Stephen's words, he died like a dog. He had taken a piece of bread, and as punishment was beaten and kicked to death. In an interview with New Zealand Herald, Stephen recalled, "I heard something snap. It was like a branch breaking. And I knew at the time his back was broken." Yet, Clement's death certificate states that he died due to pneumonia. It is clear that his murder was covered up by hospital staff. They held the lives of vulnerable patients in their hands and dealt with things behind closed doors. Why else would they have a mortuary on the premises? Around the same time, two 13-year-old boys mysteriously disappeared from the asylum. Bruce Mitchell and Kelly Hayden Collins both went missing on separate occasions in 1967, and it is presumed both of them had walked to the nearby Manukau Harbour and ended their own lives by drowning. Neither of the bodies were ever found. The only evidence were footprints on the shore after Bruce disappeared, and one of Kelly's shoes were discovered in a paddock. Their families believed that they succumbed to injuries inflicted by staff at Kingsseat and claimed that they had noticed bruises on the boys when visiting them. Nothing much has ever been done by law enforcement to further investigate the disappearances, which infuriates their loved ones to this very day. On Haunted Auckland's website is a journal entry written by a former staff member who worked there as a teenager. Here is a short excerpt. "If there are ghosts, it would not shock me. When people were really sentenced to life behind a mental hospital door, they did die there. Some of the criminally insane people did really bad stuff, but how they were treated was worse. Yes, some had murdered. I hope God forgives anyone who stayed here as a patient. I cried looking at the elderly, demented people being held here. Their only crime was not being of sound mind and having no living relations. Countless patients who entered the gates of this frightful establishment never left again, ending up inside the asylum's morgue. The hospital eventually grew to a sprawling building with a three-story middle block flanked by two imposing wings. A wide drive leads up to the main building with tall Norfolk pine trees on either side. Rolling green lawns surround the arresting structure with rugby posts that seem somewhat out of place. It is clear that this was never a place for sports and leisure, but rather an ominous retreat for those members of society who had nowhere else to go. Additional buildings called villas was where the less dangerous patients were treated, mainly people suffering from addiction problems. Still, it is believed that all patients suffered the same unimaginable torture inside the walls of Kingsseat. Mark Wallbank from Haunted Auckland has visited Kingsseat on many occasions.
I think it closed around about 25 or so years ago, and it's been pretty much empty since, except for a few buildings which they've leased out to various businesses as an office. Families have rented some of the villas there. So some of the villas there, they have like up to 10 rooms and quite a few bathrooms. They're massive big brick villas.
Tracy Royce from Waikato-based paranormal group the Quantum Foundation New Zealand had a memorable experience inside one of these villas.
So there was a lady living there, and we went in a rather large villa and investigated her villa. And she often saw a shadow dart across one of the lounges and used to go into her bedroom. And she'd quite often see this shadow figure, and she said it was very, very quick. When I walked to the spot where this shadow person supposedly ran across, I heard someone talking right in my ear, right next to me. And I whipped around and said to one of the other investigators, "Was that you?" And she went, "No." So I said to the homeowner, "Was that you?" And she went, "No." And I went, "Well, someone just spoke right next to my ear." And so I walked into the lounge and I saw her son was on his laptop. And I turned around and I said, "Are you watching a video?" And he goes, "No, I'm just surfing Facebook." And I said, "Did you have some sound come up about 10 seconds ago?" And he goes, "No." Just trying to eliminate the fact that it wasn't something emerging from his laptop. And he went, "No." And I went, "All right, well, somebody just spoke right next to my ear. I could not make out the words, but there was distinctly four words. Roughly four words."
Besides the sounds, Tracy also saw with her naked eye pinpricks of white light, as she explains.
Which is, as the theory goes, relates to something attempting to manifest. Other than seeing those photons, as they're called, there wasn't anything else, to be quite honest, and it had a very peaceful feel about it.
More than 100 sightings of paranormal activity have been reported since the hospital closed its doors in the late 1990s. An article in the Daily Mail claims that there are scratch marks on the walls, bars on the windows, and stains on the floor. Roaming the now empty halls of this eerie establishment is the so-called grey nurse. It is believed that she took her own life while living in the nurse's hostel at Kingsseat. Her spirit roams the old nurse's quarters. It is believed that more nurses committed suicide than patients while the hospital was still in operation.
There are a lot of myths about the place, so it's hard to tell which is what is truth and what is just fiction. But there are stories that, you know, quite a few nurses committed suicide in the place due to the stress of working in that kind of environment.
Furthermore, witnesses have seen objects moving about, and others have reported areas of extreme cold spots throughout the hospital. But it's the poltergeist activity that occurs most frequently at Kingsseat. In one of the villas, taps spurt water. Toilets flush spontaneously. Cupboard doors open and then slam shut. Voices and murmurs bounce off the crumbling walls, and a strong smell of sulfur is ever present. Paranormal Investigation and Research Group Haunted Auckland claims that Kingsseat is the most haunted place in New Zealand. Mark recalls some of the occurrences they experienced during their overnight stays.
We heard footsteps walking overhead, and it sounded like solid shoes on a wooden floor, yet the ceiling above us was all cement, it was all concrete. So it was solid, but yet it sounded like wood, clip-clop, clip-clop, of shoes. So that was quite interesting. And we've had a few sort of coughing sounds and a few voices captured on audio. Lots of shadows, and lots of interesting shadows as well. Shadows where shadows shouldn't really be, where there's no, you know, external light coming from any windows or headlights or anything like that. You get some interesting shadows moving around. So it's an intriguing place. There are lots of interesting little things.
But then there was an incident that stayed with Mark and his team.
We did do one session there where we had an EMF meter going, and we were just using it to monitor the room. And we asked if anybody was in the room with us. And this was a closed off section. There was no power in the building at the time. It was just completely closed off. We did a bit of a sweep of the area to make sure there was no wiring or anything like that in the area that we were in. It was just completely clean. There was nothing. So we started asking questions, and all of a sudden the EMF meter started beeping and flashing. So we thought, okay, there's something happening here. We'll just go with it. And that's with our investigations, we tend to just go with wherever things are taking us. Where it leads, we'll just go with it and see what happens. So we started asking more questions, and we started getting responses with the EMF meter flashing. So it was like the EMF meter was being used as a trigger object. So we asked whoever it was to start to perhaps work with us with this EMF meter by touching the EMF meter, making it beeping, you know, doing the once for yes, twice for no, that kind of thing. And it did. It started to respond to every single question, and there were no other responses outside of the questioning. It was just directly straight after the questions.
Here is a short excerpt from the encounter. To listen to the whole clip, you can find it on Haunted Auckland's website.
Did you work in this building?
Were you a nurse? Did you die in a hospital? Did you live in this building?
Were you a male? Were you a male? Were you a female?
And it got to the point where we were starting to scratch our heads and think, okay, this is interesting. This is quite neat, because we would have moments where we'd stop for 5 minutes and we'd stop and just listen and we'd watch the EMF meter and it wouldn't flash, nothing. But then we would ask a question and suddenly it would flash in response. So we started, for the next hour and a half, we started going through the alphabet and getting it to flash on certain letters to try and spell out names.
The team established that they were communicating with the spirit of 27-year-old nurse Alexis Jackson, who ended her own life in 1974.
Now, whether it was just pure coincidence, we don't know, but the answers were coming bang, 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 straight after the questions, in the form of beeps and flashes. So we don't really know, but it was an interesting hour and a half. And then suddenly it stopped. There was nothing. So we sort of went away to another area of the building. And before we left at the end of the day, we thought, well, we'll go back to that room again and we'll just see if whatever was there is there. And somebody else answered wasn't the same person. It was a completely different name. It was a guy this time. And he was a bit angry, and we decided we didn't want to hang around anymore after that, because it just, yeah. But it was interesting. It's just, yeah. I mean, I consider myself quite the skeptic, but then things happen, you know, and you can't dismiss them. Things are happening, and you just got to try and figure it out.
There is no doubt about it. King's Seat is a terrifying place. Its walls reek with the echoes of suffering. These days, King's Seat Hospital is used as a horror attraction theme park called Spookers, the feature of the quirky documentary of the same name. It is a haunted attraction with theatrics designed to entertain and provide a memorable experience. Their gripping tagline reads, "When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth." There are many, including former patients, who believe that the hospital now being used as a horror theme park is frightfully disrespectful. But behind the shrieks and giggles, actors in costumes and cinematic fog, there are things that cannot be explained. With so much history of terror and pain locked in a timeless loop of torment, would you dare visit there? Thank you for listening to Paranormal Isles. Myself and co-creator Sonia Lowe look forward to bringing you more episodes.